Dan's Driving Double Feature presents A Minute to Dismember, episode minus two. The new owners of the home where the Kent massacre occurred, the Monroes, have a daughter who looks like Mary Kent. She's Vicky Monroe, and she's seen a lot of strange, crazy crap.
Audiences will feel tiny cold fingers at the backs of their necks as they watch scenes reminiscent of The Exorcist and see a nightmarish battle between the living dead and his victim explodes across the screen in chilling detail rivaling any film on the market. From the cellar of the grave to the attic of the haunted, a night to dismember will stun and startle even those with the strongest will, who have no belief in the supernatural. A Night to Dismember will electrify you with its special effects and camera work. Its moments of raw psychological terror will have you quaking in your seat. No one will want to miss the only film made today which dares to...
All right, so I think two of the main things we glean from this is that this is a story about a living dead force at this house that claims its victim, in this case Vicky, in the earlier in the movie Mary. And the movie is a struggle between, at least in this part of it, between the victim of the living dead and the living dead themselves. So it's Vicky struggling with the living dead, and what most of this minute shows is that she loses. It looks like what happened to Mary's family is happening to Vicky's, although that's not what they specifically say. And this is a trailer meant to sell, as we mentioned before, meant to sell the movie to people. And there is a moment where it says the special effects and this, that, and the other thing, rivaling any film on the market today. So, boom, there you go. This was her kind of fun, and it is quite fun, spiel to try to get folks interested in the movie. And it's certainly crazy. This minute starts off with like an arm shoots out of a grave and grabs at Mary, and another one shoots behind her and grabs her mouth. And then as the narrator is describing the fight between the living dead and the victim, there is a strange, mostly polarized scene with kind of like a blue light over all of it, but not all of it is, where Vicky is standing in a room and it looks like her family members, although there's a like a brother or something there who wasn't in the car when they showed up in the previous minute, sort of like they're stabbing her and hitting her in the arms with axes. Now granted, someone stabs her in the forehead with a knife, and it's clearly one of those knives where the blade retracts, like a stage knife where the blade retracts into the handle and then like fake blood comes out of it. But it's all very weird to look at, and it keeps sort of like points of impact are not sort of polarized, or is it even, are they negative shots? Well, they don't, no, I'm sorry, it's not polarized. I think it could be negative. Shots are in negative. Well, they look polarized at the start. I'm going to say negative. I changed my mind. I'm going with polarized because that's what we had throughout a lot of it. And I thought, oh, it's fun to see it back. And then like the last, I don't know, like 20 seconds, 15, 20 seconds before, Camp Drunk Uncle reappears on screen, we just get Vicky killing people left, right, and center. We see, I think it could be a replay, although it looks like a thicker something or other goes through someone's neck and the back and comes out the front. And when Mary... why can't Vicky kill someone the same way Mary did? It looked like an ice pick when Mary did it. This looks more like a huge, like thick, like railroad spike or something like that. And there's a knife in the chest. Someone's fingers get cut off. And someone gets axed in the head. Lots of screaming, lots of yelling. Mary is in her outfit at one point that she is wearing when we first see her stepping out of the smoke, back when she's chasing around that woman who apparently... Wait a minute, did I say Mary or Vicky? Did I do that again? Vicky is wearing that outfit. from the opening sequence when we thought maybe it was Mary chasing him. You remember the folks having the party and the dry ice on the ground, and the woman getting chased in the laundry room. Vicky was wearing the outfit she's wearing there here, but you don't see that woman she's chasing in this footage. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on there, and it all sort of culminates with all the swinging and the screaming, and oh my gosh, what a crazy ass soundtrack. Just listening to it is just kind of nuts. And there's a point in here. Geez, I almost forgot. There's a point in here where Mary's head is in like a hat box. It's like you look at it and go, is that Mary's head in a hat box? And there's another point where those disfigured hands are shown waving over, I think, Mary's face. It's a little tough to tell if it is Mary. I think it's Mary. She's sleeping and the hands wave over her face. And then we get two of my favorite moments when they mention scenes like straight out of The Exorcist. There's a shot of Mary. It looks like Mary's chewing on a human heart. And then that old guy who was in the fridge and who had the knife through his neck and actually spits blood onto the camera lens. So that's fun. I mean, that's a good time for everyone. It's chaos. It's just, this minute is just pure chaos. And it all ends with Mary, apparently, I guess under the control of the living dead person, because you wouldn't think she'd be able to do this, putting her fist through someone's back and her hand comes out the front with a beating human heart in it. That's when you hear that loud, crazy scream. If you haven't watched this, you just listen to it. If you hear that loud, crazy scream right before the organ kicks back in and our narrator appears back on screen, that is the human heart being pushed out through the back of the body. And that's the sort of thing that Jason Voorhees does. He did that to Horshack in Jason Lives, but I don't know if is that really the sort of thing that sort of a kind of a small young woman would be able to do. I don't want to put anyone down. I want everyone to be able to do everything they want to do, but that just seems a little. I mean, there's just, you know, strength and that sort of thing. But possibly by that point, once she goes on the rampage, I mean, because I'm imagining that this sequence with the family all stabbing her and everything, because it is negative to positive. Yeah, that's definitely negative. Negative to positive. I'm imagining that's sort of maybe the final straw, that like a dream or a hallucination that sends her off killing everybody in a wild bit of craziness. And yeah, maybe, just maybe, the spirit, the living dead thing, whatever it is, gives her extra powers. So she can actually then begin to go crazy and do everything she needs to do. So there you go. And then the footage from the movie ends, and apparently stepping, the doors of a mausoleum swing open, and our gentleman steps out, and he no longer, he has the cape on, but he doesn't have it wrapped around him. He has it sort of in his hand. Well, he doesn't have it wrapped around when he steps out, but then he sort of pulls it up around him as he steps out. And then that's when he begins to discuss the special effects and the, I like the scenes of raw, moments of raw psychological terror. I don't know, what would those moments be? Would those be the threats and the recrimination and stuff that they mentioned during the Mary sequence, and I guess maybe Vicky being attacked by her family or something? They're a little vague on what exactly happens to Vicky, because Mary is specifically told the disfigured spirit or whatever takes Mary away and takes control of her, and then makes her into this rotten person who I mentioned kills her family. The Vicky element is much lighter and a little trickier to figure out. I would say it's probably a spoiler kind of thing. If the Mary sequence is an opening like 20 minutes or so, and the Vicky sequence is the rest of the movie, then you're not going to want to give everything away. You don't want to know exactly why she has been taken over by the spirit. Maybe there's a point where it looks like she's going to win, but then the evil spirit does something crazy. Maybe all the killings are hallucinations too, and she's really won. I don't know. That's not to discuss in the trailer. As I said, the trailer ends here. The footage from the movie ends here with our friends stepping out and acting sinister, but not really that sinister at all. It really is a crazy moment. It's filled with odd images and weird soundtrack noises and great synthesizers and all kinds of stuff. Library music, I would imagine. All sounds like great music and craziness and everything. And then when it builds. And then the fist comes through and it's got the beating heart in its head. And then all of a sudden, da-da-da! And there's the guy standing there. And you're like, oh, nice. We made it. I like it. This is fun. This is going to be a great, great movie. I'm all for it. I want more movies to do fun trailers like this and put the movies together and sell them in this fashion. They don't, but I would like to see more stuff like this. So this is the end of the trailer. I am wondering how many folks... well, that's something to wonder for on the episode minus one when we complete the trailer. We've got about 37, 38 seconds left in it or something like that. We can see what else the gentleman has to say. But for now, let's hear a little bit more of the opening music from the trailer, and I'll see you for episode minus one.
What are you afraid of?